This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. It's spring in Maryland, Mark Twain time. Mark Twain, who said, "It is by the goodness of God that in our country we have those three unspeakably precious things, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, and the prudence never to practice either." Bada bum. For 7 years, St. Mary's College has held its Mark Twain Lecture Series on American humor and culture, bringing academics, comedians, and authors to the Southern Maryland campus. Ben Click started it. He's a professor of English at St. Mary's, chair of its English department, and has written many papers and delivered many lectures on Twain. And Ben Click joins us from St. Mary's College of Maryland. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
And with us by phone is Sarah Vowell, who has written 6 best-selling nonfiction books about American history and culture. On Friday, she'll deliver the 8th annual Twain Lecture on Humor and Culture at St. Mary's. Sarah Vowell, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Ben Click, what does Sarah Vowell have in common with Mark Twain?
Well, Sarah likes to tell the truth, I think, and she... I didn't think I would begin with this, but Neil Young said something about Bob Dylan that seems relevant here. He said he doesn't just believe in telling the truth, he enjoys it. And for some reason, when I read Sarah's books, I get the impression that she enjoys doing the indefatigable research that she does and then somehow crafting a narrative that is accessible to many, many people. And I think Twain did the same.
It also occurs to me that Sarah Vowell has written about presidents, and that was something Twain did, right?
Correct. Actually, he wrote less about them as opposed to met them and talked about them. But he met almost all of them. He didn't meet Lincoln, and he didn't meet Hayes. Those are the only two in his lifetime, his adult lifetime, he didn't meet.
So I guess I should ask Sarah which presidents she's met in her lifetime.
I met President Carter. I remember when I met him, we exchanged books, and I said to him, "You know, your bio really beats my bio all to hell." And he looked at my bio, and he's like, "I guess you could still win the Nobel Prize." You know. I also met President Clinton once, I guess.
Sarah, what do you see yourself in the Twain tradition?
I mean, sure. I mean, he's quite a luminary. There are certain correspondences, I guess. One of them is maybe regional. There's that area of the country where I was born and he was born that encompasses, to my mind, Missouri, Oklahoma, parts of Kansas and Arkansas, that kind of region of the country that's sort of nebulous. It's kind of southern, kind of western, kind of midwestern. And I was born in Oklahoma and lived there until I was 11 years old, and my parents are from there. And there's a kind of hick sort of twang, I guess, and a kind of joshing quality to people who live around those parts. And maybe a vernacular, you know. And then I guess I also respond to how much he grew as a writer, you know, starting out as a journalist and then his novels and how his novels sort of grow. And then, I mean, he's really kind of all over the place, and especially his later writing, his joining the Anti-Imperialist League. He was the most important writer writing against American imperialism and you know, our horrible war and the Philippines and stuff like that. So I like that, you know, I mean, there are jokes in his work, but there's a lot more than that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I guess I do, I like people who do more than one thing.
Mm-hmm. Ben Click, I heard that murmur of approval. There are jokes in his work, but a lot more than that.
I think what Sarah is saying is early in the work, he does grow because he comes from that tradition of storytelling, oral storytelling. And then he uses that all through his work. But by the time he returns to the United States in 1900, the writing is different. You don't see these extended narratives anymore. You see more critical things like The probably the greatest anti-imperialist thing written is To the Person Sitting in Darkness. But much of the writing that he does in the 1900s, those 10 years there, is not published during his lifetime. He can't really get it published. For example, The War Prayer, which is a pretty amazing commentary about what war is actually like, it doesn't get published until 1923. He also had pieces like...
He's dead by then, right?
Yes, he has died in 1910, right?
Yeah.
And so what he said was he would fulminate at large about things that existed in the world. And by the time he was in later years, he said his pen was warmed up in hell and he didn't hesitate to write it down. And that's why when he said he would publish his biography or his autobiography, he'd have to wait for 100 years, because then it would only be then that you could handle it.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with St. Mary's College English professor and Mark Twain expert Ben Click and author Sarah Vowell. Vowell gives the annual Twain Lecture on American Humor and Culture at St. Mary's on Friday night. Sarah, the award you'll be presenting, the Assault of Laughter Writing Award, has been nicknamed the Rakoff Award in honor of David Rakoff, the wonderful writer who died of cancer 2 years ago and who spoke at St. Mary's a few years ago. And I understand you went to Disney World with Rakoff. Tell us about him.
Yeah, he was a friend of mine. We met, I met him right before he started working on This American Life. David Sedaris introduced us, actually, and he became one of the, most beloved contributors when I worked on that show. I think when I went to Disney World with him, it was in the late 90s, and he was still had his day job working in book publishing. And so at that point, he was just kind of up for stuff, you know. And I think what we were actually supposed to do is I just thought he was a funny, nice person. And I asked him to go with me to see a NASA launch. And the NASA launch got scrubbed. And we had these non-refundable tickets to Florida. So we ended up at Disney World. And, you know, he had that kind of, the things we had in common were a certain sort of grim humor, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was also so, not just well-educated, but, one of his friends growing up called his family the Sophisticados. And he had that, and because I was raised by Okies, you know, there was always, like, something about him that always seemed so kind of exotic to me, and it was like that urbane, sort of sophisticated, eastern, mordant wit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Professor Click, what do you look for in good humor writing?
Well, this won't sound professorly, but writing that just doesn't try too hard. You know, that's so obvious when you see that. And the one thing about Twain was he was in no rush to get to the humor. The problem is that sometimes his sentencing is so funny just in and of itself, even though he's not really saying something. It's the manner in which he says it that is humorous. That by the time you do get to the part, it's sort of a building thing.
Sarah, what do you look for in good humor writing?
I think the thing that makes any writer great, no matter what they're trying to do, is a writer has to be a real individual.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks so much. Ben, look forward to seeing you, Sarah.
Thanks.
Have a great time on Friday. Ben Click is chair of the English department at St. Mary's College of Maryland. Sarah Vowell will appear Friday at St. Mary's College for the Mark Twain Lecture Series on American Humor and Culture. Her latest book is called Unfamiliar Fishes. The Twain Lecture is free and open to the public. We've got more details at WIPR.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, J. Wynne Resick's review of Water by the Spoonful. Stay with us on 88.1.